It's just such a privilege to be here. What an amazing occasion this is. Isn't this good? This feels really blessed, great to celebrate, to demonstrate that we are one church. I love this church. I love you. I love being part of this church. I have done for many years. And next week we'll go back to our sites and be on mission, be visible in the communities that we live in. But I love that we are connected in a deep way. We are one church. And I think you can feel the love in the room. It's kind of unavoidable, the unity in the room. And as I come to preach from the Bible, I want to speak into this and really just encourage us to keep going on in this way. But I've got two questions to ask as we begin to think about this a bit more. I think the love for one another is tangible in the room. I think the love for Jesus is tangible in the room. But what must really come before all of that is the love of Jesus to us. So first question, just to ask you to think about for yourself, do you know Christ's love for you? Do you know that Jesus loves you deeply? Do you know that he cares about you more than you could ever know? And if you don't, then keep listening and hear that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. But I imagine that for the majority of us in the room, the answer is yes. Now, sure, we can learn and grow in the knowledge of his love more. We need the power of the Spirit in order to grasp how wide and long and deep and high is the love of God in Christ Jesus. But fundamentally, I know Jesus loves me. And hopefully, if you're a member of Grace Church or you come here a lot, you know that too. You know that Jesus loves you. We're not just a bunch of lovely people on a lovely occasion. We are people who know God's love in Jesus. But a second question, as you live your life, are you remaining in Christ's love for you? Are you building your whole life in such a way that maximizes remaining in Jesus' love? So it's not just one factor, one thing you do in your life, but everything you do, it's all built on Jesus' love and staying in his love. Not that you can step outside of it and stop being loved by Jesus. I'll talk more about that in a mo. But are you embracing that love and doing all you can to know it more and to know it better? I want to talk about loving one another. And we'll see that there is a profound link between our love for one another and our love for and from Jesus, Christ's love for us. Going to preach from the Bible, going to be in John chapter 15. If you've got a Bible, then do turn there. If you've got a device, I'll put it up on the screen. But always think it's more helpful. Keep it open in front of you as we go through this morning in John, in chapter 15, John in the New Testament, one of the earlier books there. We're going to be in verse 9 of chapter 15. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, his followers, and he says this: "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." I want to encourage us, as Jesus does, to continue loving one another as God's people and explore how doing that, loving one another, is connected and related to remaining in Jesus' love for us. So some points to draw out. Firstly, loving one another is how you remain in Christ's love. That first verse I read, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. The end goal is stated. That's the main thing Jesus wants us to do, is to remain in his love, to stay in his love. That's the main point. That's what Jesus wants us as his followers, his disciples, to do. And it's not, it is important we clarify, it is not that you can leave his love. Like, here's a circle, and if you stay in this circle, you're staying in Jesus' love. But don't step outside of the circle, or Jesus won't love you anymore. That is not the point. If it was on us to stay inside Jesus' love, then that ship would have sailed yonks ago, and we would have left it. It is not on us to stay loved, but Jesus is talking about making the most of it. It's clear, because very important, Jesus is clear, as the Father's loved me, so I've loved you. How's the Father loved the Son? Perfectly and eternally. That's how he's loved us. If you ever doubt Christ's love, then remind yourself. We are forgetful. We can forget these things. Remind yourself that he has already demonstrated his love for you, and that his love is not in question. John 3:16, a verse gets a lot of love. It is a great verse, rightly so. 1 John 3:16 is another verse that is so, so helpful. And it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, the spotless one for the sinners. So you need to remind, oh yeah, Jesus loves me even though I don't deserve it, even though sometimes I don't feel like it. I know it because he's done that. He has laid down his life for us. That's how we know Jesus loves us. And if you don't know Christ's love, you'd answer that first question with a no. That's how you come to understand that truth. Come to understand he's died for you. He's demonstrated his love for you already. So remaining in his love is not about making sure we don't stop being loved. It is about knowing. It's about experiencing and making the most of his love. Enjoying his love. The extent to which we enjoy it, though, at least to some degree, is on us. That's what Jesus is saying. Don Carson, in his commentary, says, however much God's love for us is gracious and undeserved, which it is, we've clarified that, continued enjoyment of that love turns, at least in part, on our response to it. Loving one another, this horizontal line, is how we remain in Christ's love for us, vertical love to us. So there's this profound link between Christ's love for us and how we love one another. And in that commentary, he goes on and says, we must remain in Jesus' love by exactly the same means by which he has already remained in his Father's love, obedience. And that's the progression in verses 10 and 12. It says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And what is Jesus' command to us? My command is this, he says, love each other as I've loved you. So remain in Jesus' love. That is the end goal we're trying to achieve by obedience, by being obedient. That's how we do it. And what does that obedience look like? What is his command? His command is to love each other. Remaining in his love equals enjoying his love. Enjoying his love is done by loving one another. And Jesus here, he's necessarily talking to a group. You cannot be an isolated believer or disciple of Jesus and walking in obedience. Because you can't say to one person, love one another. Who? And he's not saying, you know, Christ's love, I love Christ and know Christ's love. He's saying, love other disciples. And that is how you remain in Jesus' love. So loving one another is how you remain in Christ's love. The thing we need more of is, therefore, obedience. I think we're good at talking about the grace of God to us here, pretty major on that. Sometimes we can get nervous when we're preaching about obedience. Jesus though he's clearly giving a command here, and we shouldn't be afraid of that. His great Tim Blaber speaking to us last week and saying the best bit of advice in the Bible is the mother of Jesus saying to everyone else, do what Jesus tells you. Do what he tells you. That's good advice. You can think, oh, that's a bit authoritative. Just kind of fall in line. Just not very exciting. I want to express myself and let myself be me. Jesus is quite clear. No, keep my commands. Don't express yourself. Do what I tell you, says Jesus. In our world, this sounds stuffy, this sounds boring and joy-sapping and irrelevant. But the truth is that obedience, which is done in loving one another, obedience is how, loving one another is how you get complete joy. Obedience to Jesus does not, and to his commands, doesn't equal stuffy and boring and grey and monotonous. It equals freedom and life and joy, as we've been hearing about and people God's been speaking to us about already this morning. Church is doing a very bad job if it's giving the impression that obedience to Jesus is boring. We need to do better at that. Verse 11 says it plainly, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Complete joy is on offer here. Not talking about, you know, kind of rainbows and butterflies, cushy life, but complete contentment, whatever storms life throws at us. And I know in this room, there's been a whole lot of storms, and there are a whole lot of storms. In the previous chapter in John, Jesus offered his peace. He says, my peace I leave with you. And now he offers his own joy to us. The most peaceful and joyful human who has ever walked the face of the earth says, you can have some of mine. Here's some of my peace. Here's some of my joy. Well, it says, if you want to be happy, if you want to know joy, the world says, well, you might be able to if you just express yourself and conform everything to that. Let yourself be yourself and make sure everything endorses what you think about yourself. Let nothing stop you. But Jesus says, if you want to know joy, you can. I'll give you mine. It's a promise. Just do what I tell you. Conform yourself to my commands. I know how this can sound, like this can all be a bit like, it's a bit of a stretch, a bit like a lame advert in a way, just offering a bit too much and like a, you know, you want to walk with confidence and be happy, then use this razor and it will change your life and your joy will be complete. There's a difference that we're made by God. He knows what makes us know joy. He made us in a way that you would find deepest joy by obeying him and thereby remaining in his love. And the way he talks about this obedience, again, is loving one another. If you think about this for a moment, you can think, it's kind of strange in a way. Jesus is kind of saying, love one another for your own sake. It's the best thing for yourself is to love one another. Jesus knows that you want to be happy because he made you that way. And the way to know that joy is by stopping to think about yourself, stopping trying so hard, and by thinking about others. If as God's people, if as Christians, as the church, we're not loving one another, if we're not putting ourselves in positions where we can do that and put other people first, we're just robbing ourselves and we're robbing other people of joy. Loving one another, this horizontal line, that is how you get complete joy, which is received vertically. It's not achieved. Just receive this joy as we love one another on this earth. And here's what that obedience looks like. What is loving one another then? Loving one another is kind of obviously being loved and being loving. It's both those things. I'm going to need some help from two good friends, and I'm going to struggle to look past Gemma and Mel right in front of me. So up you come. I don't know, you're right in the middle, so you're going to struggle. Maybe push a chair out of the way. Yeah, go on, give him a clap. Right. Thanks. So, I can't just demonstrate this. I don't know if this will work. Mel, can you give Gemma a hug? But Gemma, you don't hug Mel.
Oh, that's going to be hard.
Can you resist? These are bad examples. Gemma, you've got to do better. Put your arms down, Gemma. Just receive. Thank you. Okay. Now you can hug one another. And hopefully the silly kind of boy... Oh, isn't it sweet? Lovely. Lovely, good friends. Hugs, right? They're two-way. Okay? Sometimes you can do a one-way hug. It kind of... After a while, it's a bit awkward. It's a bit difficult. If you're really feeling a bit like, oh, you could do it. Yeah. Maybe that's what you'll get if you try and hug me. No, I will hug back. Hugs really can only be done when you hug one another. When you hug and are hugged. Thank you. You can sit down for that. Thanks. Hopefully it's semi-clear. Hugs are best done when you hug one another. Loving only really works properly when we're loving one another. That's the best way to fulfill this command. If we all give ourselves to being loving, because again, in a hug, you don't focus on being hugged. The way to make the most of hugging one another is to focus on hugging the other person. This that verse again, second half of that verse, 1 John 3:16. So it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. Give ourselves to outward loving. Loving one another is being loved and being loving. And really, we're talking about the church here in this way. We're talking about God's people. So let me just say this. If you are a disciple, if you're a Christian, then you need church. You need church, and church needs you. Church needs you. So if you're thinking about, oh, should I come to church this week? Obviously, I'm preaching to the choir. Great to have you here. If you think about, is it worth it coming to church? It's not just whether you need it or not. Am I up for it? I'm feeling up to it. It's not just whether you need it or not. You do, though. You need church. But also, you should be thinking, well, maybe I've got something to give. Maybe the church needs me in a way. And we do. We need one another. As the church, we need you. So think, come and encourage. Come and think, how can I go and encourage others? How can I go and worship alongside someone and maybe help them to worship? Help them to give their heart and life to Jesus? How can I come and serve others? How can I come and be loving in that sense? Not just think about how I can be loved. That is being obedient. That is remaining in his love, and that is knowing his complete joy. We all have a part to play. Together, we are the body of Christ. Together. Different roles. We've all got different things to do, but they're all crucial. So many people are serving faithfully today, making all of this happen. Now, you see me. There are an abundance. There's a bunch of kids workers going nuts out there. So many people working hard. Everyone is needed. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. We need one another. We are together the body. Do not believe the lie that you don't have a part to play. Yeah. You think, yeah, other people say, I ain't got anything to give. Don't listen. That is rubbish. You all have a part to play. Don't believe the lie that it won't matter if you come or not. It won't matter if you come and get involved in loving one another. We need you. That is not true. A quick message about online. Online has served us well, it really has, doing stuff online, streaming. I'm genuinely still hearing of people how they're helping to join and how it served them to see online. It will continue to do so. But I think online stuff is a good front door. It is a good front door, but it's a front door at best, where you can maybe see in, and see some people loving one another and enjoying community, but you can't really get involved with that. It's very difficult to love and to be loved in that way. So for those online, and I know, you know, maybe today's a bit different because maybe there's more online if we're all together, but I would deeply implore those online, largely talking online for a moment, if you're local and you were part of Grace Church before, then and you haven't yet come back, I would just so strongly encourage you to, because you're depriving yourself. You need to come and be loved and come and love one another as well. If it's COVID, there's still a sense of fear, then I think it's the time to step out of that and to start trusting in God and to come and get yourself in with the people of God. If you just think, well, I'm kind of enjoying it, then I'll just say, no, come and be obedient to Jesus and come and love one another. Maybe you were local and you were not part of Grace Church before. The doors are open. You're very welcome. Please come in. Don't just stay online. If you're not local, then I'll just strongly encourage you to find the church that is local to you and go and serve there and be served there. And we'd gladly help you to do that. We're going to keep doing online, but my strong, let's love one. Let's be in the room together. That's that. It's done talking in that way. The main way we love one another corporately is by individually focusing on being loving and laying down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Again, it's how hugs work. You focus on hugging, on loving. But I do think there is something in making sure that we are doing and experiencing both those things. We do need to be loved. We need to love and be loved. We need to serve and be served. And experience shows me that people tend to be better at one or t'other when it comes to that. We can be rubbish at asking. I think maybe it's a British thing as well. We're rubbish at asking for help, rubbish for accepting help and allowing people to love us. The other day I was on the school run, I saw two mums like throwing £1 coin at each other because obviously one of them had like helped out with something. She's like, oh, let me pay you back. No, it's fine. And just throwing this money at each other. It's ridiculous. And it's rooted in pride that neither of them will accept the help from one another. We need to accept help and service. I think a good test maybe is whether you are better at encouraging or being encouraged. So I know there's plenty in the room who you encourage others, but when you hear encouragement, you just don't believe a word of it. You just think, yeah, okay, thanks for that, thanks for that. And then walk off, what a load of rubbish that was. Someone gives that to you, they try and gift something, and you're not good at receiving gifts. We need to allow our brothers and sisters to love us and encourage us. There are others who might struggle to encourage other people. We might struggle to be able to think of the last time they went out of their way to encourage someone. We can just think, I just haven't got it in me right now. I just haven't got any space to be thinking about anyone else. Now, I know in really extreme circumstances that might be true, but I think the more we focus on our need to be loved, we just won't love others well. We've got to think about how we can encourage as well as be encouraged. Because if we don't, we miss out on being loved. We miss out in both ways. Everyone misses out. All this definitely has been made much harder by the last 2 years. It's so easy for us to kind of move on and pretend it hasn't happened. But it really happened, all of that. Where hugs were illegal in that city. That really, we lived through that. It was hard to love one another without seeing each other. And the verse that was quoted loads for good reason at that time was Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. I think habit, you've probably heard this verse a bunch of times over the last couple of years. Habit's a key and a helpful word there as we think about that. getting back into the habit of coming to church has taken some time, isn't it? That's just getting in the car on a Sunday and just getting in that habit and making that our routine in that sense. But it is more than that. It's talking about verse, it's talking about so much more. The whole real drive of that verse is putting ourselves in positions where we can spur one another on to love and good deeds, where we can encourage one another. It's saying don't give up the habit of meeting together because you need to come and love one another. You need to come and encourage one another. One main point of meeting together is just that. Here's where I'm going with this. There are some people I know who are struggling and feeling they just need to step back. It's all a bit, it's hard because we've been out of the habit. It feels overwhelming. Lots of it feels difficult. And, you know, like it's my heart of love. If you are struggling, if you feel like you're not enjoying and remaining in Jesus's love because you're doing too much, generally, my encouragement would be, please don't step away from the gathering of God's people. Don't step away from coming to church. Don't step away from giving yourselves for your brothers and sisters and thinking, I just need to get away and heal and get in Christ's love for a bit. It doesn't make any sense biblically to think that way. You would be robbing yourself of joy. That is not the path to healing, but it's just going to get you out of helpful and good habits. Obviously, there is a time. Like you've got to know that. There's a time for slowing down. But those have got to be exceptional and got to be for a limited period of time in terms of not slowing down. It's not the right phrase. So stepping back from giving yourselves to one another. There is a time for that in a sense. But the vast majority of the time, I'd say, just trust God by stepping into God's people to both being loved and being loving. For your sake and ours, we need you. And you need the church. That is how you remain in Christ's love. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense to step out of church. I'm just going to go and get into Jesus' love for a bit. No. Step into loving one another. That is how you remain in Christ's love. And we all need to get this balance right. We need to be loved and loving. And that means that we all have a part to play. And it is almost always so much better when we all play a part. All play our part. In Grace Church at the moment, I think probably it's the case in all churches, in all times. You kind of have the minority doing the majority. People talk about an 80-20 principle with 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. It's probably a bit of an exaggeration, but not a great deal. And predictably, we need support. And lockdown has made it all worse. That it's made it harder for people. We've got so many serving us today. We need some more. We need some more people on kids' work to come and serve our children and our parents in that way. We need people on youth, on welcome, on worship. We need life groups, support, all of that stuff. And I'm not, you know, this wasn't all just kind of geared up to like get on the rotors. It's step into God's love and trust Him. Trust as you serve Him, you'll know more of Jesus's love. My heart is not that the 20% do more here, but that we all love, get to enjoy this together. It is a mindset more than it's a rota, right? It's just a thinking, coming to church to serve other people, regardless of whether you're on a rota or not, always thinking in that way. Now, it is a mindset that leads to action, but it is a way of thinking more than anything else. Maybe you're new, but you feel ready to kind of step in, or you're like, you think you might do. Got an exploring membership on 11th of June. Come along, find out more how you can serve, get in that way. But to all of us, my heart would be, don't just come along and be served and thereby rob yourself and others of blessing. Come and belong, right? Come and serve and love. And there is amazing promise at the end of all this that Jesus says in John 15. There's this amazing promise that as we do this, as we love one another, others will come to know Christ's love for themselves. Jesus promises that. I'm not talking about, in all of this, I'm not saying, come on, let's be some self-absorbed holy huddle. We just got to love one another more and enjoy that, where we continue to kind of in our own version of lockdown, and we shut the doors and we just love one another. That's all we got to do, love one another. It's not what I'm saying, but verse 16 says there's this promise. You did not choose me, Jesus says, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Well, I think he's talking about people getting saved here. That as you do this, as you love one another appropriately, it won't make you holy huddle, quite the opposite. It will open you up, and there'll be a promise of that. We'll be spurred on to open up in more ways than one. In that we open up our hearts to one another. We allow people to love us as we love others. We talked about keeping it real. We open up in that sense. And we do. We open the doors. We say, come in. This is not a closed group. Come and receive this complete joy and this love of Christ. Come and know Jesus' love. And people will receive it. That's what Jesus promises. Here in Chichester, in Bognor, in Havant, there's a promise that people will come as we love one another well and appropriately. Baptisms today, evidence of that. They testify that there is gospel fruit. So exciting that we're going to be baptizing some people in a few minutes. Maybe if the band want to come up, we're going to sing again in a minute, the kids are going to be collected in a mo, but as we sing. But if the band want to come up, and feel free to start playing whenever you are ready to do so. I just want to close by asking that second question again that I asked at the beginning. As you live your life, are you remaining in Christ's love for you? So we've kind of unpacked a little bit what that is, how we do that, how we remain in Christ's love. Are you remaining in his love? You can't lose it. I'm saying that you're going to not be loved by Jesus. But are you enjoying it? Don't let this just be a kind of side project or a hobby that you focus on in loving one another. Shape your life around this. Shape your life around loving one another, around being obedient to Jesus' command to love one another. Think about everything you are and do in that way. And because it's in that place that you will know Christ's love for you most fully and enjoy that most clearly. Know Christ's own love in that horizontal sense as we love one another. Why don't we stand? I want to pray for us. And then we're going to sing. As we sing, if you've got children to collect, go and grab them. We're going to bring them back in for the baptism, so it's going to be a bit of chaos when we're singing again. But let me just pray first before we go anywhere. I thank you, God, for your love, that we are sure of it. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. Done. That has happened. Proven love. Demonstrated love. I pray we'd know it. Remind us again, because we're so forgetful. Remind us of your love. If we've never known your love, Jesus, I pray people would know it this morning for the first time. Come and remind us that you love us fully, perfectly, eternally. And I pray, God, that we would remain in your love, that we would have continued enjoyment of your love by loving one another, by pouring out, giving of ourselves, by doing what you have done for us and laying down our lives for our brothers and sisters. It's a big ask. It's a big call. It's not give a bit of your time to one another. It's lay down your lives. Help us to do that. Help us to build and be a community and a family that love one another, that live for one another in that sense. And as we do that, we would have complete joy. You would give us your joy as we remain in your love. We would know your love in new ways. Be glorified in us. That is our prayer, Jesus. Be glorified as we love you, as we love others, as we fulfill all that you've called us to be and do. We pray your Spirit empowers us to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.